Now, as I mentioned, we thank each one very much for coming. I would like to remind you that the meetings will go through Friday night, no meeting on Saturday, and again meetings on the following week, Sunday or Lord's Day through Friday. And you might say, why so many meetings? Why don't you just tell us this in one or two meetings? Well, oftentimes we've found through experience, turn in the book of Genesis, you'll find a little phrase, experience hath taught me, that when people are serious about getting saved, and they come night after night to hear the gospel of the grace of God, wonderfully, oftentimes souls are saved. Now, I'd like to just say in opening that it's a real privilege to be here, and a privilege to be joining my brother in the Lord, Mr. Stanley Wells. And I want to make a comment, and I hope it doesn't upset anyone. I don't think it will. But the purpose of these meetings is not to get you to join the gospel hall or to join a church, you might think. The purpose of these meetings is to tell you from the good book how you can be right with God, how you can be saved. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Peter, please, chapter 3 and verse 15. 15th verse, 3rd chapter, book of 1 Peter. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Here's the part I wanted. And be ye ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope or assurance that is in you with meekness and fear. Mark's Gospel, please. Chapter 12. And verse 24. Mark's Gospel, 12th chapter, on the 24th verse. Jesus answering saith unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Verse 27. The last part of the verse, please. Ye therefore do greatly err. The book of Acts, chapter 17, and verse 19. 19th verse, 17th chapter, the book of Acts. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, here's the part I particularly wanted. May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. Now that's all I want to read. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of the Word of God. And you might say that sounds like kind of a scattered reading. I wonder how you're going to tie it together. Well, my exercise in the opening meeting tonight is to tell you how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. My background is different than many here. I hope it doesn't offend anyone, but I'm a U.S. citizen. My lot in life was to be born in the land of Yonkers, New York. That's just one city up from New York City, and if you didn't have a sign to read it, you wouldn't know which one you're in. When I was a lad, there was 100,000 people in Yonkers, New York. I understand Kamloops is approximately 80,000 people. If you were to go a little bit from where I lived, you would see the Hudson River, and you probably heard of the news of a pilot landing a large aircraft in the river south of where I grew up. You would have had the George Washington Bridge. It was built in my time, the Tappan Zee Bridge, about a 3-mile span across the Hudson River. And at the age of 5, my parents moved from one side of the city of Yonkers, New York, to the other. My father came home from working on the ships during World War II, and they could only get a 2-family house at first, and they longed to get a little 1-family house. So at the age of 5, we moved to the other side of town. There was a fellow there by the name of Tom, turned out to be my wife's cousin, though I didn't know about that kind of thing at that time. And he and I became exceedingly close friends. He lived about a block and a half away. Tom's family was different than our family. Never saw a family before that gave thanks for the food. Tom's family wouldn't let him play on Sunday because that's the Lord's day, and we need to set things aside to look at the Word of God and go to meetings. And Tom was what I would call a pest in a kind way. Every Friday night where he attended, very similar to here, they had special children's meetings. And you could be sure every Friday night on the way home from school he was going to pester you. I want you to come to children's meetings. Can you imagine? You'd think after a couple of years it would sink in. I was quite content with life the way it was. I hope you don't mind when people pester you because they know what's on the other side. And I want you to have the blessing of the Lord. When I got out of the sixth grade, 1959, they had 2 weeks of special children's meetings in the month of June. The man that spoke had a shiny head like I do today and was maybe even a little rounder than I am. They told us if we would learn 10 Bible verses, we would get a New Testament. That means you had to learn one a day for every meeting. We really worked on it. I thought that would be very good to do. And then I found out there was a problem. You see, Father in my house was one religion. Mother was the other. And my life was to go with Mother to church Sunday morning. Well, we didn't have a Bible in the house. We had a big children's storybook with the encyclopedias, but that wasn't going to help to learn those verses when they gave you just the reference. So Tom's mother said, no problem, I'll type it up. It was on an old-fashioned manual typewriter in those days. And I learned those verses. But there was something that was taking place in those meetings that I never knew would take place. We did a little craft, and then the man spoke, Mr. Gibbs from South Carolina. And he told us we had to be saved or born again or we'd never be in heaven. I never heard anything like that. And I realized what he was speaking to us from was the Word of God. You know what people often ask in meetings like this? John, what's your creed? Or what would be your doctrinal statement? Good question. Do you know what our creed is? The Word of God. Our doctrinal statement is the Holy Scriptures. Quite simple. And so I realized as it was being read day after day, what this man is telling me, it's coming from the Bible. And what he's telling me, I don't have. My parents told me I was christened at 3 days of age. I don't remember a thing about it. And in the fifth grade, I was dunked in a tank by baptism to join the church my mother brought me to. The man was called the Reverend, had a red robe, beautiful stained glass windows all around, and a big brass pipe organ with a choir with robes. And if you were to ask me in the fifth grade, do you think you're all right for heaven, John? I would have said, I certainly do. In fact, I'll tell you why. I go to church with Mom on Sunday morning, not that I always wanted to, and I've actually been baptized, and they were very nervous about it and kind of scared, but I went through it. So I must be all right, and I don't think I'm that bad anyway. Well, that was my impression, how to get right with God. Now, let me just stop for a minute tonight. Can I ask you a question tonight? I won't ask you any at the door. I never want to embarrass anyone. Are you right with God tonight? The Bible way. See, the Word of God says there's a way that seems right unto a man, and in the end thereof are the ways of death. And two times that same verse occurs in the book of Proverbs. And oddly or uniquely or wonderfully, every time there's something of particular importance in the Word of God that God doesn't want us to miss, he gives us a double mention or a double call. And I was on, as the chart would show, well, we don't have it on that one, but underneath the broad road, there's a little clean footpath. And I thought I was all right, and I wasn't all right. You know some of the verses that I learned? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Never heard anything like that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. At the end of those 10 meetings, on the Friday evening, they had us say verses to get the New Testament publicly and for our parents to come. My mother never had good health. She never attended. My father attended. You know, in those meetings, I didn't just get a New Testament, but there was something that took place. I found out I wasn't right with God. And I found out from the messages and the Word of God and the verses they had us read that if I didn't get saved or born again, I was going to be in hell and not in heaven for all eternity. Now, I didn't tell Mom and Dad because they didn't know anything about this. And I was more shy in my youth than I am now, maybe, and so I didn't tell anybody. But the summer of 59 was the worst summer I have ever had in the journey of life. There was a little voice that was working in my mind, in my heart, and my soul. John, you're not right with God. John, if you die, you're going to be in hell. John, you need to be saved. Now, I never heard anything about the conviction of sin or the Holy Spirit or anything, but that's exactly what was working. The Spirit of God was working from the Word of God that went into a young man's ears, you might say. And as we read in the book of Mark, I came to the conclusion, I'm an error. What I have been taught can't be found in the Word of God. And I've got a very serious problem, and some night we'll take up, or maybe Mr. Wells even tonight, I must have the new birth, and I haven't got a clue how to get it. And I must be saved. They've been telling me both things mean the same thing. And I haven't got a clue how to be saved, but I want to be saved. Because I can see from the Word of God in my own simple way as a young lad, just out of the sixth grade, getting ready to go into seventh grade with a big high school there, I'm not right with God. It's not to please men. It's not to join a church. Not to become a member of the gospel hall. Develop the list as you want. I'm not going to live forever. Nobody does. And if I haven't been saved and I haven't been born again, both mean the same thing. Why, it's totally impossible that I'm ever going to be in heaven at the end of life's journey. Oh, I kept it concealed on the outside. But inside, I was a very troubled young lad. I'm not right with God. And I've been told an error. We read in Acts, the Apostle Paul there, and he brought them there some strange thing to their ears. It was a strange doctrine. That's where I was. It was something strange. Because the house I was in, it was works. Go to church, do this, and you'll probably, you know, outdo the bad, and you'll be all right. But what I thought was strange doctrine, that you have to be saved, was Bible doctrine. Young boy was asked a question one time. I'm glad they didn't ask me when I was a lad. He says, Sonny, what does bad doctrine mean? Now, we didn't quite understand what he said, but he was pretty good in his answer. He says, sir, that's quite simple. He says, bad doctrine is when the doctor gives the patient the wrong medicine. Well, that's what I was growing up under. Mom and Dad didn't know it. I was growing up under the wrong medicine, you might say. Because the Word of God says, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Word of God says we're all as an unclean thing and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, I'm going to move on a few months' time. Tom's as faithful as the clock chimes. Friday night meetings are coming along again. He says, would you like to come to meetings? Can you imagine? That was good to hear. Yes, I would. Can you imagine? The fellow that for years never wanted to go, all of a sudden wanted to go. And you know what took place in one of those meetings? It was either the end of October or the beginning of November. I couldn't tell you the date. In fact, the missus is in the audience, and she'll tell you sometimes I miss the anniversary. I say, always give me a week's notice. I can get the month, but the rest of it's getting pretty technical. But on a Friday night in the fall of 59, laying on a little bedroom in a little bungalow with asbestos siding that would be considered illegal today to have, I passed from death unto life. You say, what happened? I took God simply at His word that when Christ died on the cross, He died for my sins. and I trusted Him. Can I tell you tonight that salvation's real? That it lasts? It's not something you get today and you lose it tomorrow. Not at all. It's totally available to you tonight through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross at Calvary. For some odd reason, after I got saved, I was sick for about a week. And my mother called up Tom's mother and she says, I think there's something wrong with him. Didn't know it till a while later. She says, I think there's something wrong in his head. Because he wants to read the Bible. And then I got where I wanted to go to meetings and mother and father thought that was, especially mother thought it was getting a little too radical to want to go Sunday morning and Sunday night and even go to a prayer meeting. In fact, they wouldn't let me go to a prayer meeting till I got out of high school. Can you imagine? My mother one time, she says, called me Johnny. Guess you can do that if your name's John. And she says, why don't you go to the dances on Friday night in high school? They're a lot of fun. I says, you don't understand, Mom. I'm a Christian. And I get to go to a little Bible study and learn the Word of God. She says, I can't understand you. I says, well, do you think it would really be better for me to go with the boys at the corner store or to go where I'm going? Well, she says, maybe not. You know, maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you wonder what makes these Christians tick. What makes them want to come to a meeting and come to meetings like this night after night? It's because God has come along and He saved our soul. And at one time we were blinded by the God of this world and we found out we were in error. And we found out, some of us, myself anyway, that the doctrine I was brought up with was bad doctrine. It wasn't found in the Word of God. Could I entreat you tonight? There's a little chorus we sometimes sing. If I could only tell him, as I know him, I am sure that you would make him yours today. Now, you might have watched the news a while ago of the Boston Marathon. And you might have watched the news of the bombing, sad as it were. My neighbor across the street is a retired EMT and paramedic from 9/11 New York City. He came over and he says, it's the work of amateurs, John. He says, how do you know that? He says, because it's when it's the pros, they take the heads off, not the legs. I was deeply touched by one of the articles. It was by a man by the name of Carlos from Chile. He lost a son as a Marine in the war overseas. His other son became depressed and took his own life. And Carlos got on the bandwagon with his wife to go against war, and at every great event he could, he handed out flags. Carlos was on one side of the fence, the explosion hit. And instead of running away, you may have seen the pictures and the accounts, he climbed over the fence. He would have had a couple garments on, put a tourniquet from his shirt to one. And one of the news accounts shows him holding the artery of one leg as the man there is being wheeled along, Jeff. And Jeff's father sees it in the news and he says, I need to meet the man that saved my son's life. Well, I want to tell you, you need to know the one that saved my soul. That one that changed my life completely. More than anyone that can rescue in a bombing or a terrorist attack. More than anyone that can help in some type of traumatic situation that crosses our path that we don't plan on but comes. But that you might realize that the God of heaven loves you. Knows what's on the other side. Wants to stop you in your tracks in love and kindness and tenderness. And wants to bring you for you some piercing, pulsing facts. That in your sin, without Christ as your Savior, never saved, never born again, you'll never be in the awful place. You'll never be in the place called heaven, but be in the awful place called hell. Where I lived was right next to Park Avenue in Yonkers. If you were to go up Park Avenue, you would have come to the high school I went to school in. And if you were to keep walking or driving, you would come eventually to Park Avenue in New York City. More than one time coming home from high school, I turned the corner and wiped the tears from my eyes. You say, what was wrong with you? Mom and Dad weren't saved, and they weren't interested. My uncles weren't saved, and they weren't interested. And Grandma and Poppy weren't saved, and weren't interested. 17 years after I got saved, my father got saved. My mother died very suddenly at 62. I was working on a furnace in Hastings and Hudson, New York, putting steam pipes in. My father pulled up and says, I just brought Mom to the hospital. I says, I'll be down. I called one of the elders up where I was in fellowship, who baptized me and married Linda and I later on. And I says, Mr. Gordon, my mom's in the hospital. This is Saturday night. He says, I have a house full of company at the house. Well, I says, let's go Monday night. I never forgot his words and the lesson I learned. He says, company can come to my house any night. We will go tonight. He read to her John chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Explained it, prayed with her. We left St. John's Hospital, the large hospital, and met my father in the parking lot going in to see my mom. Sunday morning, the emblems were passed. The phone rang, and on the piece of paper, your mom has just died. I was so thankful that Mr. Gordon didn't put it off till Monday night. I know not what she has, but he was willing to address the urgency of the matter and willing to have a grip and a grasp. What does it profit a man if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? You may have a lease on the home and you may have a lease on the car and be thankful when it's paid off and all those ramifications. But as we well know, we have no lease on the journey of life. And we know not what the next day will bring forth. And as I weave through the unerring and ultimate word of God, I find a little verse that's of paramount importance. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. I want to say today is the Lord's word, and tomorrow is the devil's, because tomorrow will never come. I trust for those in the gathering, never been saved, never been born again, that you might realize God loves you. He wants to warn us and tell us of our piercing problem, wants to tell us of the dangers before us, and wants to tell us of the beauties to be with him forever, that you might go after God's so great salvation. As I mentioned already, it's real, it lasts, and it's available to whosoever will in this meeting tonight for his name's sake.